Well, let's first just talk a little bit about what struck me first about your piece is it seems that the state is taking a much more cautious approach about pursuing a wind farm than the first go-round. Is that a fair reading of the situation?
Yes, I think it is. It seems that the state is taking a very deliberate approach to considering the whole issue of offshore wind this time around. One of the indications of that, I think, was some comments that the chairman of the working group, Bruce Burkhardt, made during the meeting, and he said, "Well, nothing is that there are no preconceptions about whether offshore wind is a good idea for Delaware, and they're going to be taking a thorough look at that." I think that one indication of this deliberate approach is the pretty large size of the working group that's been put together. There's 19. About 19 organizations represented on this group, ranging from lawmakers to utility representatives to environmental nonprofits, the public advocates, state officials. And they're also going to be looking for public input, not only at the meetings themselves, but also on a special website that's been set up to partly as an opportunity for the public to weigh in on this very wide-ranging process.
And the caution that they're showing is not just based on the deal with Blue Water Wind that never came to fruition. It seems the state's deal with Bloom Energy is weighing even more on some people's minds. Why is that?
Well, I think that there are essentially two problems that have led to some pretty negative publicity for Bloom. One is that ratepayers have actually ended up paying a lot more on their electric bills than was originally planned when Bloom Energy the fuel cell project was set up in 2012. I was speaking a short time ago with the public advocate who was telling me that the original plan was that typical ratepayer would pay $1.30 a month over the 20-year life of the Bloom Energy agreement with Delmarva Power, but in fact the more typical charge is actually between $4 and $6 a month, and the public advocate says that they've been getting quite a lot of unhappy phone calls from ratepayers on that. The other issue with Bloom is that it has created fewer jobs than was promised to the previous administration of Governor Jack Markell, who of course was a big backer of this project. The original plan was that the Bloom Energy was going to create 900 jobs for the state of Delaware. In fact, by the end of last year, it had created only about one third of that number. So the net result of all this is that the skeptics fear that that offshore wind is going to leave additional perhaps heavy costs for either electric ratepayers or perhaps for taxpayers if the state picks up the financing for the construction of any project any offshore wind project that results from this.
And just to clarify for people, the ratepayers are paying basically to help subsidize bringing this all online and then allowing the state to have this as part of its renewable portfolio.
Correct. And that renewable portfolio aims to have 25% of the state's power coming from renewable resources by 2025.
Now, are those who are still advocating strongly, though, for Delaware to get into the wind power game again? What are they saying to those who felt burned by Blue Water Wind and maybe giving some people some confidence that it wouldn't be deja vu all over again?
Well, I think the biggest part of the argument by offshore wind advocates is to say that that costs have actually come down quite significantly since the Blue Water Wind project was current, the technology has advanced. Wind turbines have got a lot bigger, and one of the advocates at the meeting actually was saying that doubling the capacity of a wind turbine actually reduces the cost by about a third. Of course, the advocates are also point to the continuing advantages of cutting emissions, which would allow the state to advance its goal of increasing the amount of renewable energy that it uses. It's probably worth noting that that figure is approximately 10% at the moment. So we're rather less than halfway towards the 25% figure in 2025. And I guess the advocates will also note that there's health benefits that should accrue from any effort to substitute renewable fuels for fossil fuels.
And some also still see some great economic development opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about what those opportunities are? I recall during the push for blue water wind, there was hope the state could be some kind of hub for turbine production or delivery. Is that something advocates are still talking about?
Well, the search for economic gains is one of the things, of course, that was driving the executive order issued by Governor Carney at the end of August, and in fact the meeting that we're talking about, the working group's meeting, did actually hear some projections for job gains, which came from something called the Governor's Wind and Solar Energy Coalition. And what that projected is that the offshore wind industry has the potential for generating approximately 8,400 jobs in the Mid-Atlantic region, not purely in Delaware, but in the Mid-Atlantic region by 2020, and that would go down to around 7,800 by 2030. There are hopes that some of these jobs, which would be in things like construction, engineering, and management, the port of Wilmington in particular could become a hub for those kinds of jobs servicing the offshore wind industry.
The other factor at work here is that Maryland is moving ahead with its wind farm plans, including a portion of the lease off Delaware's coast. How does what Maryland is doing factor into any possible plans the first state might have?
What the governor said in his executive order is that the Maryland Public Service Commission has recently given the green light to development of offshore wind and named two offshore wind companies there, but those developers would not be using all of the offshore wind areas to develop those particular projects, and so the idea is that Delaware would be able to, as it were, take a piece of those areas and develop its own offshore wind capacity, which would be whose output would be used to serve Delaware consumers.
Is there a sense at all from this first meeting and some of the people you've talked to that there is a significant appetite to find a place for wind in the state's portfolio of renewable energy sources? The state, as you mentioned, has that goal of 25% of its electricity coming from renewables by 2025.
I think it's safe to say that they're taking a cautious approach. They're trying to cover all the bases now. There was quite a lot of discussion at the meeting about concern about the cost of the project and who would pay for that. It's worth noting that the Blue Water projects would have costed an estimated $1.6 billion. As part of the mix here, as part of this deliberate approach, some advocates, like notably State Senator Harris McDowell, argues that the state's renewable goals could be met less expensively by the development of onshore wind and also of solar. the chairman, Bruce Birkett, says that really all options are on the table. He's not ruling anything in. He's not ruling anything out.
So where does the working group go from here? They are on a pretty tight timetable to deliver recommendations to Governor Carney, right?
Well, I think it's safe to say they've really got their work cut out for them. By the terms of the executive order, they have to deliver by their report by December 15th. And that report has to cover the costs and benefits to offshore wind, recommendations on ways of procuring offshore wind power, also recommendations for developing job opportunities through offshore wind. And in addition to that, the report has to include a draft of any legislation that would be needed in order to implement this. So their schedule, as you said, they've got a very tight schedule. They're expected to have several meetings both in November and December. As I said, the public is invited to any of these events.
A lot to keep an eye on, John Hurl. We appreciate you doing it for us, and we'll check in with you again soon, I'm sure, on this topic.
You're welcome, Tom.